I got a podcast today.
We are back. It is time again. Get ready for Mindfire with Maverick Matthews.
Let's talk about something that's beautiful.
But it's your job to bring your gift and to mend the part that you can touch.
It's unbelievable to have this kind of power.
What you got ain't nothing new. This country's hard on people. Can't stop what's coming. Ain't all waiting on you. That's vanity.
You're listening to Mindfire with Maverick Matthews on KTLA Fringe FM. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for another episode of Mindfire, another crazy show. Let's see. So in this episode, I have some electronic music for you as usual in the second half. In the first half, I've been trying to decide what story to tell. And I decided I'm going to jump around a lot, obviously, but I'm going to start going back and cataloging different periods in my life where crazy stuff happened. So in the last episode, I told a story about trying to get a job in Los Angeles. And so before I had enough work in film and television, I had to have a day job. And so the last episode was talking about some crazy interviews that I went through. That we're out of control. In this episode, I thought I'd go a little farther back and talk about my time as a bicycle cab in Austin, Texas, right after college. Essentially, I was living on the University of Texas campus in a house with three other guys, and it was in a U-shaped apartment complex. There were maybe 20 units. And it was a U that went around a pool, and there was an amazing oak tree over that pool that you could climb way up into the branches and drop down into the pool. It's really cool. And I was living with some guys, and I basically lived on the University of Texas campus for a year. Decline. I wasn't going to the University of Texas. I just had the opportunity to be a roommate with some friends of mine, and I took it up. It was cheap. It was amazing. And of course, when you're surrounded by college culture and you're young, there's that vibrant energy all around you that is so cool. Now, Austin in the late 90s, early 2000s was a very special place to be. It's not the Austin of today. Today, Austin has become a miniature Los Angeles. There's over 1 million people. This was back before there was 1 million people in Austin. This is back before, you know, it was the booming micro metropolis that it is today. In fact, even the bar district and scene was tiny compared to what it is. Nowadays, if you go to Austin, you have 6th Street and 5th Street and 4th Street and 3rd Street and all these areas that are bar districts. It's really cool to visit. But back when I was in college and after I had just finished college, it was really just 6th Street and there's a few bars on 5th Street. Nice restaurants, stuff like that, but it was mostly 6th Street. And so it was a very cohesive Bourbon Street atmosphere where it was one street of bars that was just bonkers. And I had a friend who was working as a bicycle taxi. Essentially, what that means is you take a bicycle and you hook a metal chariot, and it connects to the seat post of your bike. And this chariot has two wheels and a bench seat, essentially for three people. And what you do is you rent this little chariot from the company that has a bunch of them. It's a bicycle taxi company. And you get hired, quote unquote, by going to the city of Austin and getting a chauffeur's license. To get a chauffeur's license back then, it was just taking a short test. A little written test. They issued you a chauffeur's license. It was a separate little ID card. And you are now eligible to chauffeur people around in your bicycle taxi. So I did that. I jumped that hoop. My buddy said, you're going to love this. It's an amazing lifestyle. I work 3 days a week. I have tons of cash. And it's a lot of fun. I'm just taking people around the bars. I said, I'm in. So when I first started, being a pedicab was a relatively new thing. I mean, there have always been rickshaws and people, taking people around in little carriages everywhere in every major city. In fact, in some cities, like New Orleans, for example, you can rent like a proper carriage with horses and they'll take you around, and show you stuff. You can see some cool sights. There's towns now that offer up in the north, that offer sleigh rides through town and they'll take you in a sleigh. It's pretty rad. But bicycle taxis were kind of a new thing. They're definitely new to Austin. There were only two companies and they were competitors. I worked for one called Austin Pedicabs, and essentially it was a large warehouse a couple blocks off the main bar district. And I went down there with my buddy Skeets, and he introduced me to the owner, and they hired me. And they said, come on, man. So they had like 30, 35 of these little chariots. And what you wanted to do was get there early each night. I want to say 4:35 was when we rolled up. And we wanted to get there really early to get a good cab, because they were of varying qualities. Some of them had squeaks. Some of them had different colored bench seats. They all had their uniqueness to them. And I went early with my buddy Skeets. We would get there. We would pick our cabs out. We would, wrench them to our bicycle seat. We'd have them all set up. And then we would park them right outside the building. And there was an oak tree that was right next to the main warehouse. And we would climb the oak tree up to the roof. And we would all smoke a joint up there on the roof. Overlooking the city just before sunset. Super cool little ritual that we developed. And we talk about what's happening and what life was like. And we'd finish that joint. We climb back down the tree off of this two-story warehouse roof, and we'd get on our cabs. And then we would take our cabs to a place called the Rudamaya Coffee Shop. And we would ride down, check out the night. You'd start getting a feel for what kind of night it was going to be based on how much traffic was around, how busy it was. And when we first started, it was very no holds barred. I mean, people were doing things like riding on sidewalks, doing all kinds of crazy stuff that you can't get away with now. It's much stricter, much more strict. But back then it was very no holds barred. So we would leave the pedicab warehouse, and essentially you rented the cab for the night. I remember on weekdays, it was like $20 to rent a cab. And on weekends, it was $30. And then it ended up going up later as people made more money. Essentially, but you agreed to pay that money either in advance or when you returned your cab. And that was it. There were lights flashing on the back of the cab that you had to make sure worked so that the cars could see you. And that was it. You grabbed your cab and headed out. Tried to make some money for the night. I was assertive. I was young and strapped, and so I would frequently ride with no shirt. And I got a lot of business. It was a lot of fun. So we would head to the Rudamaya coffee shop and we'd get a couple shots of espresso. And then I always started my evening at a parking garage, like a 5-story parking garage, a few blocks away from 6th Street. And the reason I started there is because I knew it was free. You could park in this garage for free in the beginning, in the old days. There's no free parking down there now. But back in the day, you could start in this parking garage for free, and it was a couple blocks away from 6th Street. So it was perfect. So I would take my cab and ride up the ramps all the way to the top of the building, the roof. And and wait for people to start showing up. And inevitably, somebody would roll up in a car with their girlfriend or their boys or their girls, and they'd park on the top of the building. And I'd be sitting there, sometimes music playing, usually not. And I'd say, guys, you ready for the best ride in the park? And they'd say, what do you mean? I said, you guys jump in my cab. I'll take you wherever you're going. I work only for tips. You can pay me whatever you want. And we'll ride down, you know, we'll zoom down the ramps in this garage. It's a fucking blast. And they were like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So they would jump in. Now, I said the cab was made for three people. I had as many as six people in this cab at different points. I can remember having a cab that had so many people in it that it lifted the bike up and we fell over backwards because there were so many dudes in the cab. Nobody was hurt, but it was just bonkers. I was like, I don't weigh that much. You know, back then I was like 140 pounds. And, but more often than not, it would be a car of like two or three people. They would jump in the cab. And we would zoom down the five-story parking garage, super fun. Zoom, 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 going down those cement ramps and around the corners. It was a blast. And I'd be singing Hall & Oates, usually, with my shirt off. And then it became, then it was time to pump. And I would hustle and ride my bicycle hard in the low gears, pumping these people up and down the little hills in that area of 6th Street to get them to whatever restaurant or bar they were going to. And we get there and they'd say, hey, how much you want? And I'd say, well, you know, I can't tell you what to pay me. It's tips only. But $5 would be cool. $10 would be awesome. $20 would make my night. And on average, I was walking with $300 or $400 a night in cash in the early 2000s. And for a young 20-something, to work three nights a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and make $1,000 a week, or even $700 or $800 a week, was unbelievable. I had no idea. I mean, that to me back then, that was so much money. An average week would have been $600 or $700, you know, three nights. And that's after expenses, after renting the pedicab, after the drinks, because we would stop. You get tired. There's no clock. You're not clocking in and out. No one's monitoring you. You take a cab full of girls to a bar and they want you to come in and have a drink with them. You put your shirt on, you go in and have a drink. You park your cab on the sidewalk. No one's going to touch it. It was an exceptional lifestyle. And I developed a couple routines that were fun. Number one, we would always race, me and the other cab drivers. I eventually became the top earner along with this other gentleman named Rafa, who was from, I think, Argentina or something, and had a great accent. He was a big dude. He studied Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He's strong and muscular, and he'd ride with his shirt off sometimes too, but he was just a suave dude. And at the end of the night, when we all got back at 2 or 3 in the morning, it's usually around 3 because we, you know, you want to take people back to their cars after the bars close. When we all got back, we'd look at each other and say, how much did you make? What'd you do? How'd you do? How'd you do? And it was always me and Rafa jockeying for first position. So people would ask us, yo, Mav, you and Rafa, what'd you do? And then they would say, okay, if these guys only made $300, it was a hard night, you know? My number one earning night, I can remember this, was my record night. I had taken the previous week off for some reason or another, and I didn't have my rent money, and the rent was due the next day, and I needed $760. And I had a t-shirt that I drew a little thermometer on the back. And every time someone gave me a tip, I gave them a magic marker, and I let them fill in some of their thermometer. And I made $760 in one night. I couldn't believe it. I was ecstatic. And I said, if I could do this in one night, why can't I do this every night? Well, because you're hustling people and you're making them feel bad because you need your rent money, and you're making them feel like a hero because they pay you. And I am not into sales for the same reason that I didn't make $760 every night. I was just into having fun and not pressuring people for money. So here's the kind of fun I would get into. I found out that the firemen in Austin, because there's a fire station one block off of 6th Street, I found out that the firemen got essentially banned from walking 6th Street while they were just hanging out waiting for a call because they were in uniform, and when a bunch of uniformed firemen walk around a bar district, they get mobbed by the girls. And so they were getting too distracted, and they weren't allowed to leave the firehouse and go wander 6th Street like they used to. And this bummed them out because they really enjoyed it. Obviously, getting mobbed by ladies. But I found this out, and so I made a little deal with them. They would all hang out on a balcony at the firehouse. And, you know, our bicycles had bells. One of the things is you had to have a noisemaker, either a horn or a bell. I had a bell on mine. It was just part of the code of the vehicle. You know, you had to have some kind of noisemaker to let people know or to get people's attention, just like a car has a horn. I had a bell, and my bell was unique. And when they heard my bell, these firemen would all come out onto the balcony, because whenever I got a load of women, whenever I got a pedicab full of girls, whether it was mostly girls or all girls, you know, 3, 4, 5 women squeezed into this pedicab, I would say, ladies, and I would tell them a story about the firemen. I say, these are my friends, and it's so sad because they're not allowed to walk down 6th Street anymore. But I will, on our way to this next bar that I'm taking you to, I can swing by the firehouse, and they'll all be hanging out there, and it would really mean a lot to me if you would pull your shirts up and flash them. I would really appreciate it if you would do that. And of course, these drunk girls were always game. And it was a fun little adventure, and it's a hill that zooms down towards the firehouse. And so I would zoom down towards the firehouse, ringing my bell, and these firemen would come out onto the balcony, and these drunk girls and co-eds would flash them. Everybody's happy, and I would take them to a bar, and we would continue our evening. And that was the peak, the highlight of the pedicab season in Austin. I did it for, I want to say, over a year. And eventually, I ended up moving on to wait tables, and then from waiting tables at a really higher-end restaurant called Canyon Cafe in Westlake Hills in Austin. I went from waiting tables to being an outdoor adventure guide, and I did that for the next 10 seasons. So it was a short-lived period when I was living in a house with a bunch of roommates on the University of Texas campus, and I don't even remember what kind of car I had during this period because it was all bicycle. I had the biggest calves in the county. And I still do. They're unbelievable. And it's because this period made my legs frog-like and gigantic, where I would take people around in a bicycle taxi. And if the truth is to be told, I would love to start another bicycle taxi company in a cool town and take people around that way. Because it's a fun way to get around, especially if there's a bunch of bars that you're bar hopping from one place to another. And it's a great lifestyle because you're exercising for work, but you're not swinging a sledgehammer or digging a hole. You're riding a bicycle and you're giving people a good time. Now, in any town that licenses pedicabs now, it's all strict and you can get pulled over and the cops are harsh and da 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 da. Back then in the late 90s, early 2000s, they would just look at us and be like, look at these clowns. They just didn't pay us any mind. They paid us no mind, and we zoomed around flashing firemen and smoking joints and drinking coffee and carousing the town. And I can tell you that in the period that I worked for Austin Bicycle Taxi, Austin Pedicab, I can't remember what the name of the company was. I can tell you that in the period that I worked for them, there were 30 guys out every night. All having fun, all getting debaucherous, and no one was ever hurt. You know, we had, you know, minor little crashes here and there just because, You have a bunch of drunk people on a wagon, essentially. But it was very innocent and beautiful. And as we enter this exceptionally Calvinist period in American history, this very strict and overly regulated time where everything is an infraction and every infraction is the death penalty, it's interesting to look back on the free times before the internet, before the time of surveillance, before cameras, and think about what it was like to be in the moment and alive in that space in the world. And it will come again. I look forward to that solar flare, the real Great Reset that fries Klaus Schwab's brain circuitry. And because he is probably part robot, he simply shuts down and his little Darth Vader costume is put in a museum right next to some of the clothing from the Third Reich and Bill Gates' sweater outfit. And we remember a time when drones ruled the world. And we look at it, thankfully, as a time that has passed. So thank you for being here. You're listening to Mindfire with Maverick Matthews, another crazy, circuitous rant and storytelling, coming to you from the middle of the Mojave Desert this week as I travel the country, touring music. Now let's listen to a little electronic music, some more down-tempo that I'm ready to share with you. And then tune in next week for an hour-long DJ set live from Love Manor in Los Angeles, California. So until then, thank you for being here. Please visit maverickmatthews.com for more information. Go to fringe.fm on the interwebs also for more information. And if you would like to support this show, you can donate at either FringeFM or MaverickMatthews.com. There is a tip jar on there. Those tips are how I support these shows and this podcast. I also have a coffee table book for sale there. It's a collection of paintings I did as I'm going through a very painful divorce and custody battle. If you want to help a young, beautiful 4-year-old, my son Hunter, maintain his relationship with his father, please consider donating or purchasing that book. Otherwise, thank you for your attention. Let's get to the music. Maverick Matthews, Mindfire, only on Fringe FM.
I got a podcast today! I got a podcast to listen to, and they just said there's merch.
Thank you for listening. Get ready to get down. Mindfire.
Rooms in his place.
I do not have a gospel of faith to share with you today. I have and I offer a gospel of doubt.
Down. Maverick Matthews Mindfire, only on Fringe FM.
We'll be right back. Intensity. Diversity. Diversity.
University.